Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin. Good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm one of your two hosts, Jason Ophir, here with Maria Wilson Duff. Maria, how's your week been?
My week's been pretty hot and busy. Thank God today was rainy and cool. I just chilled out all day.
Well, it's not nice and cool out here in Oregon. I think it's over 90. And as many people know, I am not a big fan of the heat. I prefer the nice cold winters. Heat, I'm allergic to heat. Well, I actually don't think allergic to heat, but I feel like it.
Sounds like you need to move to Alaska during the summer.
Yeah, but I think that kind of crosses a line, though. I mean, I like cold, but I don't want to go outside and be, like, deathly cold. Hypothermia in a few minutes.
It gets up into the 80s in Anchorage sometimes, so you'd be safe. You'd be all right.
Yeah, I might have to look into that. One of the things I did before we bring our guest on, one of the things I saw come across my plate this week was that somebody was circulating pictures. Have you heard about the 5G towers that they're trying to put everywhere, and they're supposedly really bad for you and unhealthy, the cellular towers?
Yes, I've heard all about them.
It's the big thing about it. People are trying to ban these things going up, and there's a lot of them because they don't have the range as the other cell towers. So, you know, they're like peppered all over where they've been implemented. And somebody posted pictures of piles of dead bees around the 5G towers. And I thought that was interesting. Like, I'm not a big fan of it. I'm not an expert on it. I don't know a lot about it, but apparently there are legitimate health risks. And apparently, I don't know if it's a truthful story or what, but it may be affecting bees.
Well, they've been trying to ban pesticides and things like that about the bees and saying that kills lots of them. You know, this may just be something else that some kind of conspiracy theory is trying to pop up. You never know.
The 5G mind control towers.
The death towers. They've been talking about that for years.
Well, it's something to keep our eyes on and see what's going on with that as more and more of these towers pop up. Now, we have a great guest, and I see he's on hold. Can you tell us a little bit about our guest before we bring him on?
I met Donnie a few years ago, and he's a really great guy. I enjoy being around him. He has an event company called Weird Weekends, and I love it. I love to see people being able to investigate, do paranormal investigations of a known haunted place, and they get together and they have a really good time and a lot of fun. So Donnie can tell us more about it, and I know he's got several events coming up, and we'll talk about past events as well.
Oh, very cool. And I'll bring them on in 1 second. One thing I just thought about, how about our Facebook page? Is that exploding or what?
It's blowing up. We reached over 6 million people in just a couple of weeks.
It's and 1 week.
It's just, that was just 1 week, wasn't it?
1 week, yep. It's ridiculous.
I love it. We're making all kinds of people laugh because we sure don't post anything paranormal on it.
Not very much. Apparently, more people are interested in funny memes than they are paranormal. Although we do sneak one in every now and then.
Yes, we do, and we seek sneak in something cheerful and happy and something to make you appreciate life a little bit more. But, yeah, we'd rather make fun of other people or things like that.
Animals, did you see that?
Whatever we can do.
Did you see that one where it looked like boiled chicken with cream of corn and the macaroni? Did you see that one?
I did see that one.
Last time I looked, it had something close to 80 comments. I thought it was hilarious. It was really grossing people out.
Yeah, that was pretty sick.
Anyway, without further ado, we'll get our guest on, Donnie Irvin. Hey, Donnie, how's it going? Thanks for joining us.
Good. How are you all doing?
Fantastic.
Donnie's like me. He's in a different time zone, but he's an hour ahead of me, so it's way past his bedtime as well. It's 11 o'clock where he's at.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's
so
a
Donnie,
late night for me.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to come on. Now, Maria kind of told us a little bit about you. I'll kind of give you the floor and let our listeners know about yourself and what you do.
Okay, well, my name is Donnie Irvin. I've been in the paranormal field for a little over a decade now. And I have helped with a lot of events through the years. And in 2017, I decided that I wanted to try my hand at events. I started Weird Weekends. I've been fortunate in my life to visit a lot of locations that I wouldn't have gotten to do on my own, and I wanted to give that opportunity to other people. And I didn't want people to have to spend hundreds of dollars to go to these locations. I wanted to be able to give them the same experiences that I was getting and also guide these people in these locations to help them have some of the experiences I've had. One of the things that I enjoy most is actually watching people for the first time have an experience that they can't explain, or non-believers coming in and having something that just contradicts everything that they've ever believed in. We try our best to find locations that aren't that well known. You have everybody that wants to go to your Waverly Hills and your Stanley Hotels, but there are so many locations out there that people haven't heard about or known about, and we try to hit those locations and bring attention to those so people can see that there's so much out there.
What are some of the places that you've done? I'd love to hear about where you've had some of these events and some of the experiences yourself or the people that have gone have had.
The very first event we did was at the Benton Farmhouse here in Kentucky. We've actually done two locations here in Kentucky, or three, I'm sorry. We did the Benton Farmhouse, which is up by Florence, Kentucky. Octagon Hall, which is in Franklin, Kentucky. Yep, that's where I met Maria. And we also did the Anderson Hotel in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. We've been to McRaven House in Vicksburg, Mississippi. The Old Park Hotel in Ballinger, Texas, which was an amazing location. If anybody hasn't been to that location, they need to put that one on their list. That place, I don't get shook too often, and that place really shook me as far as the activity there. We just did an event 2 weeks ago at Eloise Psychiatric Asylum, or hospital, I'm sorry, in Westland, Michigan. And that was a really interesting location as well. So we try to get all over the place and find these hidden gems that haven't been on TV or people don't really know about. As far as experiences, the Benton Farmhouse was really interesting. There was a lot of shadow figures that we witnessed. At that location, I actually witnessed an entity behind one of our crew members. and we were in pitch dark, but the entity was so bright that I could actually see the crew member in the dark, and I'd never experienced anything like that. Octagon Hall, which is one of my favorite places to go. I'm sure Maria can back me up on that. It's very active. We had a gentleman that didn't believe in spirits or ghosts, and we had him sit on a bed in the upstairs, and we set a REM pod beside him, and I would ask the spirit to come sit down beside him. The REM pod would go off. I would ask it to get up and walk away, and it would go off, and it did that quite a few times. About the third or fourth time, he decided he didn't want to sit there anymore, so he got up, and he did walk out, not a skeptic as much as he was when he walked in. So that those are the experiences that I really look forward to. It's having those moments with people.
Yeah,
talk to a lot of
people. Really enjoy.
We talk to a lot of people.
You...
Oh, go ahead, Maria. Sorry, there's a little delay.
That's one thing that I've always enjoyed is bringing a skeptic in, and you don't lead them, you don't do anything but give them the equipment, and then they get their own experience. And it
exactly.
really makes them think.
And one thing that we try to do is, with my events, a lot of people go to these events and they just want to sit around and watch the people investigate. I'm more of a hands-on. I want the people to actually be involved because they're paying the money to come in there and investigate. I want them to actually feel what it's like to do an investigation. And no, it's not really a true investigation in the strictest sense of it, but they are having an experience and they are getting to see that part of it that we all have experienced and that we all do. And it kind of gives them the bug in a lot of cases. And, you know, a year from now, we could go back to that location. Those people are back and be like, oh, I've started a group and I've done this, this, and this. And it's really great to see when those people get that fire lit in them that they want to continue to have those experiences.
Is there any kind of risk involved? You know, we see a lot and we've talked to a lot of people that have gone to a location and then they end up with a spiritual attachment. Is that ever a risk? You know, going on these tours?
And majority of the cases, the locations that we do, we investigate before we even bring anyone else in to see what the risk is. You do have some entities at some locations that there is a risk that you could get an attachment, but for the most part, we try to do our best to make sure that those things don't happen. And as far as attachments go, it's very rare that you get an attachment. You know, I tell people, you know, spirits were humans at one time, and sometimes they'll take a liking to somebody and they want to hang out with them, you know, and that's something that we can't promise anybody that, you know, somebody won't go home with you, but we do our best on our end to make sure that everything that we're presenting or every location that we're going to, that there's not a situation that will arise that they would have that problem.
Have you ever run into...
This is where I need you to make up a really bad story to get Jason nightmares.
Yeah, no, thank you. I don't need nightmares.
Okay.
I was about to ask if you had run into any dark entities, like demons, because we talked to a lot of people in the past that have had really, really horrifying experiences.
On a personal level, no. I've ran into entities that were dark. I've ran into elementals that had issues, but as far as anything that was oppressive, no, I haven't. The one story I can give you, I have had a few things come home with me from time to time, but again, this is something that I do, you know, more than just events. I was doing home investigations, private residential investigations for many years. But the one that sticks out with me, and Maria liked this one, was the Octagon Hall. You had the little girl, Mary Elizabeth, that hangs out there. A few years ago, we had investigated the location, and it was about a day later. I was on my way to work one morning, and she actually spoke to me from the back of my vehicle. And that's not very fun at 6 o'clock in the morning driving down the road.
That would freak me out.
What did
she
say? I don't know what she said to me. It was kind of it was really fast, and it was just one of those things that caught you off guard, and you're like, did that just really happen? But that was something that stuck out to me. I have brought home doppelgangers, where we would have someone in the family would see somebody in the house and go in to talk to them, and they wouldn't be there. I have a brother, and I thought he had come over, and I went in to talk to him, and he wasn't in the room. We've had a few things move around the house. But again, it's like, you know, just minimal amounts of things over many, many years of doing this. So, you know, I don't want to freak anybody out, but, you know, there are times that things can come home with you. Again, they can like you and just hang out with you.
See, Jason, that's how you'll meet new friends.
No. I want to relay a personal experience with you, and I want to get your input on that. Is that okay?
Sure.
So many years ago, I was in my car by myself, and I was being followed by a family. They were all Mormon, you know. And so we were at their house. I was getting in my car, pickup by myself, and they were getting in their car. There was 4 of them. And they pulled up behind me, and so they're following me down the road. And then when we got to where we're going, they were asking who the man sitting next to me was. Everybody in their car saw a man sitting in my passenger seat. There wasn't anybody there with his head turned towards me looking as I was driving. What the hell is that? They all saw it.
Well, could they describe the man to you?
They didn't really describe it. They could just tell it was a man with his head turned towards me.
Well, a lot of people don't realize, you know, if we're talking about spirits are energy, and they can go in, they can come and go as they please. A lot of people have family members that will come visit them. I don't know about your family or if there's anyone in your family that passed, a man or whatever, but on occasion, you know, they will come visit. And maybe for that moment, that veil was kind of lifted for these people, and they saw someone in your family that come to check on you or to make sure you're okay or just hanging out with you.
The last thing I want to be is like a ghost Uber.
If they pay, you know, I don't see any problem with it, but nobody rides for free.
I haven't really had a lot of people that have passed. I had a grandfather. That's about it. But I don't know. I thought it was weird because it wasn't just like one person saw it. It was like 4 different people.
Right. And a lot of times I actually have a grandmother that visits me quite often. And I have never seen her, but there's a certain perfume that when she's around, I can smell that perfume. But sometimes they're around us more than we're aware. And if you kind of take a step back and start watching things or noticing things, you may notice that you're getting more visitors than you actually realize.
I don't want visitors, then I can't sleep.
Well, it's family.
Still, I don't want to end up like, what was it? Is it Whoopi Goldberg and Ghost and was visited by all the spirits? Yeah, no. I have no interest in being visited by spirits. Communicated with spirits. I don't even watch paranormal TV shows. I did Paranormal Investigations for a while. I'm good.
Jason, I know who that guy was that was in the vehicle with you.
I don't want to know.
You remember your odd UFO sighting and all of the, he's probably one of the CIA agents or NSA, and he passed, and now he's really, either that or he's found a way to do interdimensional travel, and he can be with
sweet.
You at all times.
Oh, that's scary. I'd hate to see my file.
Yeah, I would too. But yeah,
yes.
I think it's just real. I think it's wonderful. I'm kind of like Donnie. I mean, when you can have somebody that's a skeptic that has an experience, I love to sit back and watch all of that activity go on. I'm the one that likes to run the camera and listen live and watch the people's reactions, because you can look at somebody and tell when they've been touched or they've heard a disembodied voice and things like that, and it really turns their whole world around because they can't stop talking about it, and then they want to try to debunk it and figure out that had to be something real. They don't want to accept that they just had an experience, even though they're there to have one.
Yeah,
sorry,
well. Go ahead. Sorry, Donnie.
I'll be honest. The ones I really like to watch are the cocky ones that come in. A few years ago, we did tours on the battlefield, and we had a couple come in to this house that we were investigating, and we had a REM pod in the floor. And this guy kind of made a smart remark. He's like, "Why don't you just ask him to touch the REM pod? He can do it." So it's like, okay. So we asked. He's like, "Can you touch the REM pod for this gentleman?" And the REM pod goes off. So we play the recorder back, and when we ask the question, we get, "Yes, I can." So the guy's all wide-eyed there, and he said, "Well," he's like, "we're going to go back downstairs and let somebody else come up. That way they can see what's going on up here." So they go down. Nobody comes back up. But we hear a car start, and they see them driving down the driveway. So I was like, well, I guess they got their money's worth. But
I would have been like,
I would love to get Jason down to Octagon Hall.
I would do it.
Well, see, Donnie's not a small guy either. I mean, I know you're a tall guy, and Donnie's a tall guy. And, Octagon Hall loves to run big men out of there, and I don't know what it is, but I'm assuming that it's a soldier, Civil War soldier that was there to protect the house, but there have been several big men that have been in that house, and they have been chased out of the house with the feeling of that they're having an anxiety attack, which feels like they're having a heart attack and they can't breathe and they just got to get out of the house.
Oh, I have anxiety attacks all the time. It'd be normal.
With Octagon Hall,
yeah.
I think I've been there, 13, 14 times. What
it
I do know is...
It doesn't disappoint, does it?
Oh, it, absolutely not. And I've actually had people that have went and said, well, we didn't really get anything to happen. And I said, well, it's like, with Octagon Hall, it'll either show up for you or it won't. If they want to talk, they will. If they don't, they won't. But
yeah, that house knows. If somebody, and I've seen it, and it's the wildest thing ever. You can have an investigation there. And if there is somebody in that group that the spirits don't like, they will not show out. They will. You won't even know they're there. But if when that person leaves, the house comes alive. It's a very intelligent haunting.
And we've actually set up cameras and left the location for a while, and it would get insane while we were gone, and we would come back, and nothing would happen. So
right.
They are very aware of who's there and who isn't.
Right.
They're going to have to remind me what the story is with Octagon Hall.
Octagon Hall
Either
is one. A... Civil War house, home. It was built, they started to build it in 1849, and it is an eight-sided house, and it's made out of brick and off of the land. That whole house was built from everything off of that land, and it was built specifically for the Confederate soldiers for a hospital and for, and to help them, to have them a place to be and or to hide out. And they paid dearly for it, that family did, because when the Union took over Kentucky, they did whatever to the slaves, to the livestock. You know, it was a really bad situation anywhere. War anywhere is absolutely horrible, but when you've got death and things like that there, it really shows.
If I was down there in the Civil War doing investigations, the first question I would ask is, where's the Confederate gold?
We tried. It didn't work.
Oh, you tried?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't work to ask, does it, Donnie?
No, not at all. And with that location, you have several spirits. You do have soldiers that are there. You have Union and Confederate soldiers that are there. But you also have family members that are there, too. And there's actually slaves that are still there. Some of the best EVPs we've ever gotten has been at Octagon Hall.
It does harbor a lot of Class A EVPs. It's amazing, the energy that is still in that house. Tell me about the Anderson Hotel, Donnie. I've heard a lot about it. I have not made my trip there yet.
Well, the Anderson Hotel, currently you cannot get in there. I believe we actually did the last investigation at that location a couple years ago. But I was one of the first people to actually go into that hotel, and with it, it was like walking into a time capsule, because what they did was the hotel, it was a hotel back in the early, don't quote me on the years, but it was early 20s or 30s. And Lawrenceburg was a big whiskey distillery. They had all kinds of distilleries around there right before Prohibition hit. So it was a really booming place, and they had tons of hotels there for the people that were coming in. And once Prohibition hit, it kind of sank all of the businesses around there. So the hotel fell on hard times, and it ended up being kind of a location for down-on-your-luck people. So the people would rent little rooms in there for $20, $25 a week, whatever. And they didn't have stoves or anything like that. But you had your prostitutes, your alcoholics, your drug addicts, all those people lived there. And when we first walked in, the last residents that were there had just left all their stuff. There were still pictures of family members. There were still beds. And one of the beds, when we first went, we were told that there was a murder in the hotel, but the guy made it a point to tell us that the bed that the murder happened on was no longer there. We thought that was odd. So we went up to the hotel, and in one of the rooms was a bed that was made, which we thought was very odd that a bed was made and the hotel had been closed for 30 years. So we pulled back the sheet and the cover, and there was this huge spot on the bed. So the gentleman I was with was got some, I cannot think of the name of it right now, but you spray it and it shows blood. And
Luminol.
We sprayed that bed and it just glowed. Every bit of it glowed. So we knew we was dealing with blood. The woman in there, we would actually get EVPs with her, but there was also a man there that we always assumed was the man that killed her. When he would come into the room, she would disappear, like he was kind of pushing her away. I actually got bit there. I was bit on my foot, which everybody finds comical, and I don't know how that happened. But I did get bit. There was a gentleman that was an alcoholic that loved to party. Every time we would go in and we would talk to him, he would want to get a drink with us or play music or whatever. He would really show out. There was another room that a gentleman had committed suicide, and whenever a woman would go in there, she would feel like she was getting attacked or her hair pulled or whatever. It was a very active location, and it's a shame that you really can't get in there now because, again, it was like walking back into time.
Is that another one of those places that if they don't care for your energy, they don't like you, that they don't show out at all?
Well, when we first started going in there, like I said, I was there from day one, and you could tell there was energy there, but they really wouldn't talk. It took us a couple of weeks before they started opening up. But once they opened up, they really didn't stop. We taught them to we would take in plasma balls, and they would just suck the energy out of them. When they figured that out, they would do filming up there, and we tell people you need to take extra batteries. It's like, oh no, these batteries last 12, 13 hours. Well, they suck them dry. So they figured out how to suck energy from batteries. But for the most part, I can't think of any time that we went in there and didn't have some type of activity. And it was like a lot of them there wanted the attention.
That's always very interesting. It's like sometimes you go into places that you investigate and it seems like you have an immediate connection with that place. And it makes you wonder if it's the energy or maybe that has something to do with a past life that you have. I don't know.
Absolutely.
If you go that deep into the rabbit hole with all of that or not, but I enjoy walking into a place and connecting with it.
Absolutely, and you try to question, like Octagon Hall, I fell in love with Octagon Hall. Like, I went every year, and I could never understand why I kept wanting to go back. And I don't know, you know, about past lives or anything, but I do think that on a personal level, like a lot of investigators, we love history. We love getting into the history. And with most people, there's some part or some time in history that we are attracted to more than others. You know, and I'm really interested in the Civil War, so I think that has a lot to do with that interest. But, you know, it could be anything. And I think that's what draws a lot of people to locations is just that interest in whatever that they're interested in.
I was just wondering if you ever have used Ouija boards. Or you let people take a Ouija board?
I personally don't use Ouija boards. The only thing that we've ever done is we did an experiment a few years ago with the Ouija board. We actually blindfolded the people that were using the Ouija board, and then we would ask questions to see if they would still get responses. And I think in about an hour, we got maybe one response that was to what we were asking. But, you know, my personal opinion with Ouija boards is a lot of people don't think that they're that big of a deal, but also I've heard stories and I've seen the darker side of it too. And a lot of people with a lot of things get obsessed with them and they do go down a rabbit hole with them. And, you know, I think it has a lot to do with the people or the person that is using the board and what their reasoning for using it is.
I think that's a lot of it. And that's with any investigation, any type of equipment that you use, if your intention, what your intentions are with that communication will take you to wherever it is that you want to go. And I don't think people realize they really don't want to go there. A lot of people think that you have to have some type of experience with something dark for it to be paranormal, and that's not how it works.
Oh, no, you don't have to have an experience with something dark. And, you know, again, I don't judge anyone that wants to use Ouija boards or whatever devices you want to use, as long as you do the, as long as you study and you learn what you're doing and take it to a level that you don't underestimate what you're using, what you're doing. And that goes with any piece of equipment.
I totally agree. I think it's all in what the person's intent is. You know, if you're out there trying to summon demons or legitimately communicate with, you know, a peaceful heart, that's what it comes down to. But I'm also skeptical about the whole thing as well. So.
Hey, Donnie, tell me how it is that you go about trying to schedule one of these events. Now, I know you've investigated with several celebrities. John Tenney is one of them. Chad, is it Lindenberg? Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Lindbergh.
Lindbergh, okay. Does he still scream like a girl?
I actually get that question asked a lot, and I'll tell you this. If you go back and look at that show, I'm going to change the whole premise for that show for you. And once I do, it's going to change your mind on how you looked at it. When Chad did that show, that was the first time he'd ever done any type of investigation whatsoever. When they put that show out, they said, we're going to take a seasoned investigator and put him with a beginning investigator and show you what experiences they have. That show would still be on the air to this day. As far as him screaming and carrying on, no, he is actually a really good investigator now, and he has really come into his own when it comes to investigations. But like anybody else, there are times that you get freaked out. He doesn't scream anymore, but, you know, everybody gets freaked out from time to time.
Oh, I loved it, because what they showed on every episode, it was pure and it was real, just like you were talking about. He, you know, he was having experiences and he didn't hold back. If it flipped him out, by God, they showed it. And he screamed because, I mean, you're sitting in a dark, and that's what I think a lot of people don't realize. He was by himself in these huge, dark areas. Number one, they were hoping that the area was secure and nobody had snuck in to do any harm to either one of them when they were in there. But number two, when you're in a house, you're already freaked out because the energy level is way on up there, and something touches you or you hear someone speak to you, it really gets to you. And I love that show because they showed that, and I love him because he didn't hold back. So I was really glad to see that you had hooked up with him to do an event.
And I really think a lot of Chad, and like I said, he has come leaps and bounds from where he was back then. And as far as investigating or having him at an event, he is an amazing person to have an event. Everybody loves him when they come to events, and we love having him at an event.
So what events do you got coming up?
Well, I don't have any I can say at this moment. I just agreed on one today, but I can give you the dates and everybody can watch for it. We'll be announcing at the end of the week where we're going to be at, but we have an event scheduled for November 1st and 2nd. We have... last year been asked by or approached by a lot of people that have asked us to manage them, and we've agreed to do that. So we do have some events that we will be at with some of the people that we manage. We'll be at Michigan Paracon here in a few weeks, and then in October, I believe it's October 12th and 13th, we'll be at Ashmore Estates in Illinois with We have the Southern Gypsies and XC Smith that we will be there with for Ash Bash.
That's a great
name.
You know, I think it's amazing that you decided to start a company like that. And I know there's a lot of people that start these events, and of course they think event companies just make all these kinds of money, and they don't realize how much money you do not make and how much money you lose. Everybody thinks that there's money to be made in a paranormal event or anything, and it's just not that case. This is stuff that you do because you love it. This is a love you have. It's like a hobby. It costs you money. You can't make money off of this stuff.
Absolutely. If you're getting into events thinking that you're going to be rich and you can retire from your job, I'm going to have to break the bad news to you and tell you that's not going to happen. You know, right now, the field is so saturated with people doing events and groups doing events. It's very hard to stand out or to be different from everybody else. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. That means that the people have plenty of locations that they can go to and plenty of people that they can see. The only thing that we always tell people is, like, come to our event, see what we do, and see how we're different from everybody else, and make your decision. We want you to support anybody or everybody that you want to support. But I'm not getting rich off doing these events. I don't ever look forward to being rich or being able to retire from these events. And it is a labor of love. Like I said, when I first started it, my whole goal was to be able to have people come in and have those same experiences that I did, because I've been very fortunate to go to a lot of great places and see a lot of amazing things. And I want other people to have that same opportunity. If I can break even on an event, I'm quite happy with that. And I'm not going to be one of these people that's doing, you know, two or three events every month at a different location just trying to make money. You know, it is about the people, and it is about the experience that you have with us. And every event that we put on, we make everybody that is at the event our priority. We want everybody to have a good time and want to leave. Even if you don't have experience, we want you to leave and say, you know what, I had a really great time with these people, and I can't wait to go to another event with them.
Are you seeing that there's still a big draw for people to go out and do paranormal events? I always kind of felt that the whole paranormal thing was dying due to the oversaturation of the TV shows. You know, is there still a big draw out there that people want to go out and do this?
Oh, absolutely. There's still people that want to come out, and especially, and everybody gets the bug around Halloween. Everybody wants to go out and see a ghost. And, but like I said, there are so many events out there right now. There's so many places that people can choose from that they can just pick and choose whichever ones they want to do. And right now, if you're smart, you're going to save your money. You're going to go to the event that you really, really want to do. But as far as oversaturation, you know, I think the paranormal field right now is really hot. I think it's a lot hotter than people realize. I'm afraid that with all these new shows that are coming out, that people are going to kind of get the feel of it. We'll see what happens. But, you know, as far as people wanting to come out, yeah, there's quite a number of people that's still coming out to these events and looking for ghosts in the dark.
Do you have any recommendations for people that are seeking events? Obviously, we want them to come check out, you know, what you're doing with Weird Weekends. But I remember a few years ago, there was somebody tried to do events. It was a haunted tombstone, and, like, it was a fiasco, and there were charges filed. And if somebody's looking for an event, obviously, we want them to check you out. But do you have any tips for people out there that, you know, when they're searching for stuff?
Well, it's just like anything anymore. If you're going to go to a restaurant, what do? You get on Google search and you search at the restaurant, you look at reviews. If you're going to a hotel, you look at reviews. It's the same with events. Go to their pages. Go to their website. Whatever you got to do, go look and see what their reviews are. That's going to tell you a lot about that event. It's going to tell you a lot about the people that are putting on the event. Another thing is word of mouth. You know, ask people that's been to the events, you know, how was it? Again, it comes down to finances. Can I afford to do this event? Is this something I really want to do? Are these people known for stealing people's money? You know, there's a lot of things now that you can do to save yourself from going to a horrible event. And it's not that, you know, every event is amazing and successful, but for the most part, everybody that puts on events, and a lot of the people that have been in this for many years, they have a name and they have your reputation, and that's what you need to go for.
I think one of the things I enjoy about your events is that you've never tried to throw your face out there and be in the middle of all this. Your events are put on, and the host, you know, the person that they're investigating with, say it was Chad or something, that's who your focus is on, because that's who, you know, the guests will be wanting to investigate with and not just you. And I have, there's been several events that, and I'll tell you one of them, Ghost Hunt Weekend. That's a joke. He wants to act like he's in the middle of all of these celebrities and he's one of these ghost hunters. And that's not what you do, and I appreciate that, because you want the focus to be on the people and them having fun and to go forth. But, you know, it's sad to see that that's what happens with a lot of the people that schedule these events.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And, you know, my whole goal with this was, you have two types of people that come to these events, especially if you have a pair of celebrity that's going to be at the event. You have the people that want to hang out with the celebrity, and then you have the people that actually want to come and investigate. So what we would do is, when we had someone with us, we put the focus on those people and let them intermingle. And if you have 20, 30, 40 people, you can't have all of them there at once. But we do rotate it, and we do try to make it to where everybody has a really good amount of time with the celebrity. But, you know, my passion, too, is to investigate. And, you know, my opinion is I do it really well. And I think that when they're not with a celebrity, myself and my crew, we do our best to show them that part of the paranormal side, the investigative side. It's just not always about, we try to focus on the location while they're focusing on the celebrity, if that makes sense.
Right.
That makes sense. I mean, there are a lot more people out there that want to have experiences. I can see people wanting to hang out with para-celebrities, though. I wouldn't want to be a para-celebrity just because I don't want to be bombarded all the time.
Jason, you don't want to be around people. We don't have to worry about you wanting to be a celebrity.
That's why I work in a laboratory.
Right.
And that's one thing I have struggled with. I do know that I'm the face of Weird Weekends, and regardless of whether I don't want to be famous or I do, I still have to put my face out there and let people see who we are and what we do. That's just the nature of the beast. And I've fought it kicking and screaming for the last couple of years, and I'm just now finally getting to the point where, you know, nobody's really going to know what we're doing unless I get out here and talk on shows like you all have and, you know, have my face on videos or whatever. But, you know, my intentions of starting this was never to be well known. I just wanted to put on great events and have people have a great time at locations, and that's always going to be the goal of Weird Weekends.
Who
it sounds like that's what you're doing.
You? who all's on your crew?
We have six counting me. We have Lindsey Bannon, Stephen Poole, Wendy Jesse. We just added two new ladies, Teresa Whaley, and I'm going to pronounce this young lady's name wrong because I haven't asked her yet how to say it correctly, but it's Jenny Biganouth, and they were actually on a show on Biddy Space for a while. But they have just recently joined our group, so
wonderful.
We're really excited about having them.
That's always a good sign when your crew can get bigger. That's always a great sign.
And one thing I've always done with my crew, too, is, you know, a lot of these people were new when they first came into this. They didn't have the experience that I did. And I want to take them in and show them how these events are put on and how to investigate and how to keep people's attention. And, you know, it's just that knowledge that I've gained over the years that I'm trying to share with everybody else.
Very cool. Well,
that's wonderful. I'm so glad you joined us tonight, Donnie.
Yes,
I haven't talked to you in quite a while, and I'm kind of missed that.
Well, I really appreciate you asking me to come on. You had asked me a couple weeks ago, and I was asleep by the time you asked me, so I didn't get an answer. But I really do appreciate you all having me on tonight.
Now, we are running out of time. So now, for the listeners, where can they learn more about Weird Weekend?
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just look up Weird Weekends. We should pop right up. We have a website. It's weirdweekendsonline.com. We also do our announcements there. If you're looking for a paranormal team or a psychic medium to come to one of your events or conventions or investigation, you can go to the website and look up who we manage and contact us, and we can see what we can do to help you with those people as well.
Well, very cool. And again, I want to thank you for staying up late and taking some time with us this evening.
And thank you all again for having me.
All righty, Maria.
Yeah.
I'll wrap it up.
Yeah, but that's what we need to do, Jason. You need to, because he goes everywhere all over the country, and you need to look him up the next time he's close to you, which I don't know if he'll ever be in Oregon. Of course, I know you don't want to drive 15 minutes down the road, but we'll see what we can do.
Nobody wants to come to Oregon, although there are some pretty haunted places up here. I've done a few, you know, back in my investigation days.
There's some crazy stuff that goes on up in Oregon.
That's right. We have the Shanghai tunnels, you know, where people, like, back in the day would go to the bars, they'd get drugged, and they'd wake up in these tunnels under the city of Portland, and they'd get Shanghai'd on these ships, and the next thing they know, they're in the middle of the ocean. Now, that's a bad day.
that's what's going to happen to you with that guy that appears in your vehicle that you can't see, but everybody else can.
Yeah, scary. That's pretty terrifying. I've got a ghost. I wonder how many people that have been just randomly driving behind me have seen that same figure since then. Now, granted, this was probably 25 years ago.
And see, you're still holding on to it, so you really need to investigate it.
Oh, see, he's sitting next to me right now.
Probably is. You'll feel it tonight. He'll get you.
I don't need nightmares tonight. You know, I always have these, like, weird, evil spirit dreams, and they're really starting to piss me off.
Okay.
Like what's
the
deal?
What are you talking about?
It's, well, the one I had a few days ago, I was back at a boarding school I was at, which was situated on a summer camp, and we lived in cabins. So in this dream, it was like I had gone back there decades later, and the cabins are all decrepit, and I'm in there, and I think there's one or two other people there, and there was a spirit in there, and the spirit like levitated me up, and I wasn't freaking out, but I was like floating. And then suddenly there was this loud horn sound, like one of these ominous trumpets from the heavens went off. And we all started running away because we knew the dark being was coming. And so I'm like running. And next thing to know, there's this like demon humanoid standing there. And I'm like trying to figure out how to communicate with it. But it was kind of goofy at the same time because he had little like T-Rex arms. And he was like, you know, like just imagine somebody with no like shoulders or like, yeah, it was really weird. Stuff like that. Pretty standard stuff, really.
You need help.
I'm telling you.
Or you're being abducted. One or the other.
Abducted by humanoid T-Rex arm aliens, maybe. My dreams are whack. Let me tell you, it's end of the world stuff. Cats and dogs living together, volcanoes, tornadoes, tidal waves, T-Rex, aliens, and all sorts of stuff. I don't have good dreams. I don't know what it is.
I want some of the medication that you're on. Really, you
that's the funny
care.
Thing. I'm not taking any medication. I quit drinking like 7 years ago. I don't do anything. I take a little vitamin D. Or maybe it's all the aspartame in the Diet Coke I drink.
Oh, my God. Get off of that crap.
Or all the Nicorette I'm chewing constantly.
So I take it you've quit smoking?
Oh, yeah. I've quit smoking, and I've been chewing Nicorette for like the last 15 years. Let me tell you, that stuff's expensive.
Yeah. You'd be better off smoking.
Damn near. It's expensive. Lord knows what's in that stuff. I know it ain't just nicotine. Probably going to give me
apparently
colon cancer.
Probably.
I'm going to have Nicorette colon cancer. Nicorette-induced colon cancer.
Well, if they Banda. Ever say that that's what's caused it, you know, be sure everybody sues the company afterwards.
Next time on the show, I'm going to be talking about the details of my colostomy bag.
Please spare me.
Well, I've got a roast and a crock pot I think I need to devour.
Wait,
do you know what
cooking?
We got? This is actually kind of odd because that's true. Now, I eat out literally every meal. And decided today with my significant other she brought a crock pot over and we went and got crock pot stuff. So it's kind of a new experience for me. Well, not really new, but I haven't done it in a long time.
No, because about this time you're hollering about needing to go get a piece of pizza.
Yes, pizza is definitely a priority in my life. It is probably contributing moderately to my abdominal obesity. So tonight we're going to be healthy-ish.
Ish. Well, that's okay. Yeah, you're home. You're cooking. You know, it's amazing how much money you spend eating out. So I'm kind of proud of you. I heard the word significant other, and I heard the word crockpot in that you're cooking. It's all looking up for you, dude.
When you said crockpot for a second there, I thought you said proctology. I don't know what's going on with me right now.
Well, I don't know what you two are doing, but anyway.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, eating out is very expensive.
Yes.
And I don't get McDonald's. It's not that kind of eating out. Like, I legit, every meal, it's like restaurant takeout, and it is terribly expensive.
Yes, and it's all preservatives and just really, really bad. I love to eat out. Oh, my God, I'd eat out all the time if I could, but I just, health-wise, I just can't make myself do that.
Yeah, well, it probably explains why I look like Santa Claus, the 45-year-old Santa, 46-year-old Santa Claus with a big old gut.
Yes, and if you'll need to start hiking again, you need to start walking. You need to get back to the way that you used to be, Jason. I'm rooting for you.
Used to be so slender. Now, granted, I'm not morbidly obese. I'm not like one of these people that you see on 600-pound life or anything like that. But
You're on your way.
Hey, I've been good. I've been eating salads at work.
Well, good.
God, salads are so boring, though.
Yeah, no good story starts with I ate a salad, but.
That's true. No good story starts or ends with a salad.
But you're doing baby steps. I'm proud of you.
Baby steps. That's right. Well, with that, I got my little stew thing to indulge in. And do we know what we got going on next weekend? I know Sherry's not going to be there.
I think it's just going to be me and you, unless I can sucker somebody else into coming out on.
Sweet. We don't need a guest.
We can talk about enough effed up stuff all by ourselves.
I know. And it doesn't even have to be paranormal. We can talk about anything.
That's right. That's exactly right.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. We'll see everybody next Sunday at 8 p.m. West Coast time. And hope everybody has a fantastic, relaxing week. And unless you have anything else, Maria,
I'm good.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.